is gone, and it would light up pretty often during the day.
Day
I mean, when it would light up at night, there'd be a huge ball of fire when it would light, when it would first light. So I'm just wondering where it's currently been burning up, because there's obviously a lot of methane under the ground still.
Well, this is a public hearing. So if you have an answer, yes, Greg, answer it, please. Let's just make the flow easier. Okay. Thank you, Greg. Otherwise, it's here. Anyone else? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public comment period for the public hearing. Now it is open to the commission. I think there was a recommendation by Mr. Deedle in regards to let's address the issues one at a time. Okay.
In that instance, we should all turn to the draft ordinance that has the track changes in it.
Which piece of paper is that?
So it would be ordinance.
This one?
Yes, that one. Big gray bar on the right margin.
Yes.
Well, this is the track change version. It shows all the changes that are being proposed to the ordinance, everything from the title to reflect what was in the public hearing notice to the latest PDD amendments that were approved in the last couple of months. So that's the first couple pages of changes. Those are all technical changes. I would skip all those if it's okay with you guys. Real changes start on page 7. So on page 7, number 9, so these are the general district standards for the entire ballpark commons project. Number 9 is about the special use for buildings that are greater than 46,000 feet in size, and the applicant is asking that it be changed to 90,000 square feet in size. Staff has no problem with that. However, they are also asking to change the height of the building from 3 stories to 4 stories, that we do have concerns with. And they are also asking that be added 60 feet in height, be the upper limit. And staff has no concerns with that either. So 2 of the changes they're asking for, staff has no concerns. It's the number of stories that staff is recommending not. So what's happening here is, what's the level that becomes a special use that has to have the public hearing and go to council? What height change? And that's what they're asking for changes. We agree with 2 of the changes, but not the 3rd.
So you are okay with a 60-foot height, but you're not okay with 4 feet or 4 stories,
correct,
which would fit in that 60 feet?
Depends. Depends where that, because they have nothing in mind right now other than the ones that we're already aware of. So they're doing this just in case it does come up later, then they don't have to do a special use and they don't have to do a PDD amendment. They don't have anything specific in mind other than the ones they already know, which is the M1 building. Our concern would be adding another story to the building. All the parking counts are based on the current number of stories of buildings. I already have concerns about the number of parking spaces. Adding another floor to the buildings raises my concerns even higher. So that's why I'm not recommending approval of the number of stories. The height of the building doesn't have a significant correlation with the parking, so that's why I'm okay.
Okay. Gentlemen, do you have a comment regarding this?
Yeah, so I think, you know, in regards to our intent for those two areas, we actually have more than just an idea. The M1 building is contemplated to be first floor retail, and then...
You know, Mike, point out the M1 building for the public.
Sure, you got it.
Sorry.
So yeah, so what we've heard is M1 is contemplated to be first floor retail and three stories of additional apartments.
And two stories?
Three stories.
Three stories?
Right.
Is there going to be underground parking under this building?
Yeah, that most likely we'd have to solve for parking that way. And then on the north side, that building, we are talking to a number of hotel developers that would like to put a hotel there.
Okay. That would be four stories as well. How about parking under that building?
If necessary, could be. We know we got to adequately park anything coming. It's just simplifying the overall zoning to change it to what we think is coming to be more accurate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we heard parking several times out here, so.
Can you use the microphone? Yes.
Understood.
Okay, thank you. Hey, other questions from the commission? How about Commissioner Hogan?
So, you said you had the concern about the four stories.
Correct.
Is it because of the parking only?
Primarily, yes.
And you're stating that you're going to have it down below, you're going to have underground parking, correct?
Yeah, regardless of the height, how many stories or what the height of the building is, we still know we have to adequately park any facility we plan on bringing in. And that would be part of what we've been doing on a site-by-site basis. Mm-hmm. We know we can't bring you something if we can't park it on the site. So I don't see the correlation from height or stories of a building to parking in a general sense.
So, Joel, with its underground parking, do you still have a problem with that then?
If it's enough underground parking. The problem is the parking counts that they're providing and agreeing to are less than what I was recommending. But has been approved in prior approvals by the council. But all these changes bring that issue back. At some point, maybe the council will agree with that there's a parking problem out there. But, again, to be clear, I still have that parking concern, but the common council has approved changes based on their parking count. But even adding these stories would exceed their parking count.
So they would not accommodate all the parking that would fit in that building then.
They'd have to come with more parking somewhere, but they're also telling me that there's very limited opportunities for more parking. They will mention that those ball fields are possible parking, but that's already in their counts. They're already saying they need that parking. We're just disagreeing on when they provide it. They don't want to provide it until there's a proven parking shortage after all the buildings are built and people are complaining. I say their own numbers say that they need it. I want it right away when those buildings are built. That issue has not been resolved yet and does not need to be resolved until they build those two buildings. So.
Which two buildings?
C5 and C6.
Okay.
But just to remind everybody of the parking strategy, so we've always had this debate with the city of Franklin in terms of what is the appropriate level of parking. And I think what we agreed on was instead of building those two ball fields, what we said is we believe, based upon our studies, that we can adequately solve for it, but in the event that we cannot solve for it, we will convert that to parking. So we're essentially going to use the year of 2019. It's really tough to talk when other people are talking in here. So I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
No, we've agreed on the parking already. We think we can adequately park it, but we've agreed not to build these two ball fields until we prove out that theory. Okay. So if we don't have enough parking, these two ball fields would convert to about 350 some parking stalls, which puts us right back to the very close to the UDO general standards. Then on the other parking with the height, if we want to propose a 50-room hotel, it needs so many parking stalls. Doesn't matter if it's one story or seven stories. The number of rooms you have dictates it, not the height or stories of that building. And we are proposing, we think we can get a four-story building in here and a four-story building there. So we wanted them as we're asking to get permitted uses to clean up the zoning to get more accurate to what we foresee is coming.
Thank you. Just a quick question.
And Commissioner Fuller.
I'm not in on the finance. I don't know finances, but have you thought about the possibility of a parking structure attached to one of those buildings, if it could be something that would then modify and allow you to get the number of parking structures by placing a parking structure attached to a hotel. I've seen it done before. I know it doesn't; it's not done a lot in suburban communities, but it's something that might be
thought about. That's been contemplated. We don't think we need to go to that expense because it is more expensive to go vertical with the parking, but there is some room to do that, and that is contemplated depending on what the final design of these last couple buildings.
So that still would be a possibility. You've not ruled it out, but it's a possibility.
The only part would be very difficult to do would be on the landfill proper, but anywhere off the landfill, which, again, for the record, the only thing being built on the landfill is the stadium. Right. All the buildings are not on landfill, so we do have land that we could work.
That would be my understanding, that the soils would support a parking.
It'd be tough. I mean, anything could be done, right, but it's tough. Right.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Nope. You ready to vote? Now, we're taking each item by itself. So this is in regards to the items that we just spoke about, which would be the height of the building and the number of stories.
And the size.
And the size.
That's a good question.
Yes, engineer.
So just to make sure I'm clear, so regardless of the height, whether basically the difference is that whether it be approved at council versus here, is there a difference in the number of parking spaces? Is that approval, that jump from council to planning commission also, or how does that work?
I mean, if they go ahead and build these buildings?
For example, so one of the things we're going to vote on is the height of the building. And the difference is basically, does it get approved at Common Council or approved here at Planning Commission? So if they want to a variance on the number of parking that we believe is needed, does that also, would that go to Common Council or does that stay here?
That would be Planning Commission only.
Okay.
So it would be part of the site plan for that building. So yes, the council would not have an opportunity to chime in on it.
Yeah, but at this point, that is not even being presented to us. This is solely this
right.
is special use only, and moving and allowing the variations on the height, size, and number of stories. Pardon? Without a special use.
So they're setting the limit.
And your main concern was number of parking spots?
Yep. Secondary concern was just council not being able to chime in. But the primary concern was the parking.
Okay.
Because the number of stories correlates to the number of parking spaces.
Correct. So then.
But we still need approval on the
site plan.
On the site plan.
Yeah, just general zoning.
So they are mutually exclusive in some extent.
Yeah, but I'm making a motion first in regards to this item. Yes.
Just a point of clarity.
Sure.
So we're going to approve, if we do this, a variance to these building heights with your concerns on the parking.
Be careful with that language. It's
okay.
Not a variance.
Okay. I apologize.
You're revising one of the PDD standards, and you're only recommending
okay.
a
revision of the PDD standard.
Yep.
And the property owner is assuring us that they're going to take this parking into consideration in the future if their numbers don't work and they agree with your numbers that they need additional parking.
The first part, I would agree. If their numbers don't work, they will try to do more. Try to find another way to make sure that what they believe is needed will be provided.
Is there a way we can get that assurance more rock solid?
Require parking at a certain point in time, but they're not comfortable with that approach either. So it's related to what my comment has been, is when those two last buildings get built, I'm saying I'm going to recommend that, giving them a heads up now. At that time, I'll recommend that those parking lots be built at the same time.
Sure.
They're going to come back and say, no, wait. Wait until after the buildings are built. Wait to see how the parking is, and then build it.
If I could just finish up. So we're going to have another go at this when those two buildings come. This is not, okay, all right.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for.
My concern would be if we decide at that time that it's not enough, there's nothing else left. Everything's built, and there's no other place to put a parking.
But you could.
The only thing that would be left would be where you can walk.
Correct. But then we would have the possibility of us insisting on a parking structure or something else that
correct.
They realize might be more expensive. But if it's going to meet what we need, then we could say this is what we would like to see done, or we just don't vote approval. So there is going to be a check to that, perhaps. And I'd look to the city engineer, the city attorney, somebody telling me we can't do that. But I think that would be our check.
Although staff has already brought that up, and they haven't agreed yet.
Because they don't, again, you guys are still arguing over the numbers, and they're going to wait and see if they need it. But we will still have that final check that we could do that. So we're not, like, our hands aren't tied when we get to that point. That's all I want to be concerned.
I would mention, though, how tight this site is. They do attach garage to the parking structure. The hotel is probably not small.
Again, not my problem. they understand the problems that they're going to be kind of putting themselves in a box to a certain, you know. I think I'm not a businessman. I'm not a finance guy. If they think they've got this figured out and we get to that point, then that's where we're going to be. And we'll have to come up with a solution then.
And yes, I agree, but I think our options will be very limited.
Okay.
Engineer Morrow.
And I'll just also say that knowing what I know about the drainage calculations and the size of your pond, there's really not any room for any more parking area. So you'd have to do a parking structure if you actually want to create more spaces.
Thanks. That was going to be my next question.
As a point to clarify, though, we do have that pond size for that those two ball fields to become impervious.
I believe that's correct, yes.
Yeah, so we're planning for that.
That was what I was going to ask.
Yeah,
thank
there's
you
no
for
other me. Area to build one on. I mean, that takes up everything. So.
I mean, you want the development to be successful. If you overcrowd, it's going to be detrimental. Okay? I mean, you're hearing the concerns of the public. You're hearing the concerns of the commission and the council in regards to the, be careful.
Okay. And we fully understand. We don't expect that you guys to approve a building. Any of the future buildings until we can prove we can adequately park it, regardless of the height or whatever. See, mm-hmm. If it's a 50-room hotel, doesn't matter how many stories it is, you still need the parking stalls for 50 rooms. I don't personally see the
quality. Let's envision this product moving forward. You've got the stadium going. It's summer, okay? You've got capacity of 4,000 people, right? Mm-hmm. You've got the golf dome, the golf facility, up and running. How many people in there?
I don't recall. I mean, we have flexed this model.
Okay.
That's why, you know, it's we understand staff's recommendation. We understand you use UDO standards. We understand you use all this logic.
Yeah.
But that logic does not take into consideration these specific uses and how they flex during certain hours. Ours does.
Okay.
And so what we said is, like, this is how we feel pretty adequate about it, but what we'll do is we'll wait, and we'll let results speak for themselves, and if we underparked, then we know what we have to do, which is we've got to take those ball fields and convert them to parking.
Okay.
Which gets us to the standards.
Okay.
Essentially.
So, Mr. Deedle, do you have a recommended motion on this item?
Ours is to only approve those two changes and not the other. So, again, the process as before. If you agree with the applicant's recommendations, you have to strike our related condition. That's at the end of the ordinance.
Okay.
If you agree with staff's recommendation, then you don't have to take any action. We will automatically change the ordinance to reflect the staff. So if you agree with the applicant, we have to go to the end of the ordinance and strike that condition as related.
Let's show us the correlating section or number.
So you'll be looking at page 47?
Yep.
Number 10.
So, is there a motion to strike section? Pardon?
Nick was asking if I was supporting.
So we're going to make a motion to strike item 10.
Condition number 10.
The district intent pertaining to the building stories shall remain as established in the ordinance. Okay. Is there a motion to strike number 10?
So move.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Hearing none, the motion passes. 5 in favor, none against. Then we go back to item 9.
Page 7.
Yes.
Standard number 10. Staff agrees with this change.
Do we have to vote on? Nope. That's all we need to do. Okay. Okay. Number 10.
Number 11. This is about that temporary stone crushing facility. Staff does not agree. Staff is recommending that it stay a temporary use as the UDO has. They would have to apply for that separately. And it would have to meet the standards that are set forth in the UDO. And the most important to them would be the setback. The UDO requires a 1,000-foot setback from the nearest residential home. Their location would probably be closer to 700 feet. And the way they're asking for it would be permitted, so that they'd only be, so it'd still be going to the Plan Commission in either event. The big difference would be the distance.
Do they, on this site, do they have any ability to put this crushing unit with the 1,000-foot requirement?
Only if they have permission from the DOT to put it on that excess right away. That would probably get them close to that 1,000 feet.
We're looking at doing it here when the M1 building is. And it's not, to clarify some of those points, it's not a batch plant. We have a lot of concrete on site. We can save, recycle that material on site. We think it's more environmentally friendly. At the end of the day, we only need so much crushed stone on site. So whether we import it, then crush it, or import it crushed, the total number of trucks coming to the site, as far as that goes, stays the same. We can. This isn't a huge issue to us. It's just, we think it's more environmentally friendly to recycle what we have.
Ms. Gonzalez, you have to. Singo, sorry about that one. But can you refrain, please?
Can you quit interrupting? Can you just be quiet so we can listen here? I don't need your back talk.
Can you be quiet as well? Wait, he's got the floor.
He shouldn't be responding to me either.
Well,
I can't hear myself think up here because
Yeah, no. That's enough. Hey, Singales, Ms. Singales, please stop it. Okay. So you're saying the number of trucks is not
going to change.
We
have the opportunity to do it. It recycles some material on site. We were talking about, doing so. The crushing would be what you see as a temporary crusher that they use on, like, highways. That would be the size of one semi-trailer.
Okay.
We've given the hours of operation. We're looking at collecting all the concrete and crushing at one, probably one point in time at the end of summer and be done with it.
And our ordinance, Mr. Deedle, talks about what are the time.
The time is as established by the Plan Commission. It does set forth the type of information they need to provide. So they would still have to get Plan Commission approval. This does not give them Plan Commission approval. They would still have to provide us the detailed plans for Plan Commission review. The hours would be, and days would be established by the Plan Commission. How many days per year they can have is established in the ordinance. I don't remember what that number is.
Yeah, it's not many.
Under that, it's the distance from the nearest home that is the only issue that I'm aware of.
Okay. Commissioner Fowler.
Is there not a crusher on the quarry site? Several?
Certainly. I'm sorry. Yes.
And what are the hours of operation of that quarry, since I live within 300 yards of that, I live within 600 feet of that crusher? Or 1,000 feet, or something like that. Is that deep in the hole? That's why it you can't hear that? Because I've lived next to that for a long time and not heard it. So, and I know some of the trucks in operation that they have there. So,
Commissioner?
I just have a question. Would this be something similar to what we had on 76, so was that last year when they
yes.
were
yes.
doing their remodeling?
Yes.
Okay. That's
yeah, excellent example.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, and that was across from the neighborhood?
Stonehenge.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. But what
yes.
they did do is they came back and they asked for more time.
Yes.
I think I remember that.
Correct. Correct. Well, Engineer Morrow.
And the way it's written here, it says solely to be used on site for temporary roads, staging areas, and as structural fields shall be permitted use. So some of the concerns about basically opening up a service for people to come in, crush it, then leave with it, that wouldn't be allowed. Is that correct?
No. No intention of that.
Okay. Mr. Deedle? Which
so again, like before, if we agree with staff's recommendation, no action has to be taken. If you agree with the applicant's request, you have to strike the related condition at the end of the year.
And that correlating is the number 11?
Correct. That is number 11 on page 47.
Is there a motion? Section 15-3.0442B.11. District intent pertaining to temporary stone crushing shall be removed. In addition, the applicant shall obtain a temporary use approval from the Plan Commission meeting all Unified Development Ordinance standards prior to any stone crushing operations. Is there a motion? Of that ordinance. Not hearing a motion, it fails. Now this goes to the Common Council?
Yes, they can
still. So just so you know, yes, and just so you understand that there's not a recommendation by this body regarding that this concept, this idea. So, but the decision is going to go to the Common Council and at probably our next Common Council meeting.
Actually, you're supporting staff's recommendation.
We're supporting.
By leaving that condition in there to, in effect,
correct.
Not approve the provisions of number 11 on page 7.
Right. Okay. So, they've got to live within or comply with our policy. Okay.
Fine.
Okay, Joel.
Next one would be page 8. This is related to landscaping.
Yep.
So the applicant is requesting to add that language at the end of that paragraph. In your condition, so essentially they're asking for a 25% reduction from the UDO standards, subject to review and approval by the Planning Commission. And that furthermore, the revised plans for all the future buildings, except the last three, would be approved by the Planning Commission prior to occupancy permit rather than building permit.
Okay. Do you guys want to add some input?
Certainly. When we started the development, the landscape design that we did, which we knew was very sensitive to the neighbors with the berms, everything else that we were trying to do there, trying to create a really first-class development, we designed that landscape. When we checked it against the UDO, we were nowhere near what the UDO standards were. So we've spent the last 4 months adding trees and shrubs and everything else trying to get to the UDO standards. And then we add into that all the mitigation standards that we have to do. We literally have a tree every 20 feet on our entire site, and we still do not meet the UDO standards. And we've created something here that we feel is a detriment to the development because we're trying to hit a number on a chart which we don't think applies or was ever contemplated for a development like this. So what we're asking for is to basically let us start over again, give us some leeway on either a percentage of reduction and or to come back to you guys with a new plan, not necessarily comparing it to the UDO, but what we think is right for the neighbors, for the development, and for the
for the city as we go through that piece. Okay. You can probably comment.
Yeah, just to add, just want to add quickly. So the landscape plan that we developed, same group that did the rock, the plan was, it came up to like $2.5 million. And then what we did is we said, let's go back and just try to hit UDO, bare minimum standards, and that budget was 1.6. So what that suggests is that there's a fundamental flaw in the UDO standards in terms of what types of plants are counted into that. So we don't want to underplant this thing. You know, some of the stuff, even with other uses, it's kind of laughable in terms of the UDO standard. We just don't think the UDO standard is the best thing to use here. So we'd like to work with you guys, approve, or send you a new plan, consider new plantings that currently aren't even in the UDO standards. Is that a fair statement? Yeah.
As an example, we've proposed over 8,000 perennials in the development. We get zero credit for those in your UDO. We're forced to put the box shrubs in, which are a very outdated landscape look, and we've been throwing these in and throwing trees in to try to get to, and what we've created, it just doesn't look good anymore.
Okay.
So we're asking to let us take another stab at it and come back with some flexibility on either hitting that 25% reduction and or whatever, if you finding something acceptable to you guys to go through for the development wide as we go through this.
Engineer?
Yeah, the other night at Common Council was talked about in your mitigation for NRSC,
yes,
substituting some trees. So I can tell you that being the guy in charge of their tree budget, that's basically nothing this year. We are excited to take some of those if that all possible. So I'm not thinking necessarily it has to be a tree for tree, but, you know, some of the reduction I think should be sent to the city, and I would love to have it in my budget to plant street trees.
And we
especially adjacent neighborhoods if there's any, you know, locations for trees needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Just so you understand the mitigation process, they can relocate plantings in the city. We're concerned about cannibalization of plantings with our current UDO policy that's in place. We don't want to junk it up and make it a... I know you guys would like a new woods there, but there's a lot of dead stuff in that new woods, and there's a lot of buckthorn in that woods and everything else, and it's being cleaned up. We want it to look appealing. We're concerned about sound, buffering, absorption. We're concerned about the people on Hawthorne. And so we're trying to reach some type of a compromise that is going to make this work, but also make it look aesthetically pleasing. And that's why we're looking at what we're doing at this point. Any other questions on this side?
If I may just add to that comment,
sure,
as well. So part of the proposed plantings on the berms that we had weren't exactly what we put a lot more shrubs on those berms than we would rather put more pine trees on them, but we were trying to get to that UDO standard, which requires a lot of shrubs. So we weren't able to plant it as well of a privacy buffer as we would prefer to, because we only get credit for so many pine trees in the UDO, and we have to have a lot of ornamental trees and shrubs that we were putting in there. Mm-hmm. And given this opportunity, I think we can come back with a much better, thicker buffer for us and the neighbors than what was currently proposed and what everyone's seen already.
Okay. And I think we can work together as a community on this one. Mr. Deedle, what's the corresponding line item on 47?
Item 12.
12?
Yep.
Yes.
I would move strike item 12.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? The motion passes 5 in favor, none against.
Next one would be on page 9. Staff agreed with that change. So against, no change was required, no motion is required.
Okay. Just so you know, they don't know what item 9 is. Why don't you just let them know what item 9 was.
Page 9.
They want to add indoor climbing wall and indoor pickleball as permitted uses. Those would have been allowed anyway, but they wanted those called out specifically. So that's why staff has no problem.
And that'll be inside which building?
In the indoor sports.
Indoor sports?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although this allows it anywhere within the lot.
Anywhere?
Indoor.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Okay, Joel, next one.
Page 11 at the top.
Yes.
They wish to add or change the stadium from a special use to a permitted use. Staff's recommending no. They wish to change the office from a special use to a permitted use. Staff is recommending no, although it's a weak no. The only concern I had was potentially it could be more automobiles and then more parking. And then they wish to add athlete housing or apartments as a permitted use. Staff is okay.
In the end.
And what are the parameters on special use versus?
So again, the idea would be if there are any changes in the future, if it's a special use, planning commission recommendation, public hearing, common council decides.
Okay.
Permitted use, any changes in the future, only the planning commission sees it, no public hearing, no common council input.
Okay.
Can you, Joel, can you provide examples? I mean, the permitted use, the hours of operation, lights, the noise, all that stuff is getting, will have to get worked out before we can play baseball here. So what changes in a use would require, what would require it if it was different from a special to a permitted use?
So you want to say that a new type of event or activity at the stadium is similar to something that's already approved. We say it's not similar. Planning commission decides, not the council.
Like baseball versus softball?
No. Like, say if you want to do Zorb out there, so I don't know, but something, some new activity.
I can't think of an example how this would even apply.
The other thing would be if you want to change the light, stadium light, you want to change, unless the sound study says something different.
Well, we still need a permit to do that.
What's already what's already approved in this stadium?
A lot of uses, all these uses, except for fireworks, concerts, and electric automobiles.
Truck?
Yeah.
Okay.
None of that's permitted. We're not asking for that to be permitted.
Okay.
That's my question. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My question would be, so fireworks, concerts, since I live on the other side, they'd have to come and get a permit to do that from the city. They couldn't just do that under, if we permit this, they would still have to come back to the council and to the planning commission.
But only for those uses.
For those uses.
If anything they claim is similar, goes to planning.
But I think the big concern I would have, since I live on the other side and I can hear the bass players sometimes on Saturday, sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't.
Hours could change.
The hours could change. But we still have rules about how late they can go. They would be waived?
No, you would agree to change it. The planning commission would agree to change it.
Okay, got it. I've got it.
Right.
What I will say, just, I mean, like, this is, the name of the development is Ballpark Commons.